Welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb. Right now, our guest is Dr. David Beckwith, who's a pastor in the, I guess it's the greater Los Angeles area. Is that correct, sir?
Yeah, you call it Southern California or Orange County area. Yes.
Sure. Woodbridge Church in Irvine, California for more than 20 years. He's written a book called I Love the World, It's People I Can't Stand. His website is standingstoneministry.org. This is Vocal Point, and it's great to have you on, Dr. Beckwith. Thank you for joining us, Beckwith.
Yes, good to be with you, Jerry. So you can just call me Dave, that's fine.
Sure. Okay, why don't you give us an overview of this book? I understand it's related to Jonah.
Yes, I use the much-loved story of Jonah as a backdrop for it, and subtitle. You know, you always get a real chuckle when you mention the main title, I Love the World, and It's People I Can't Stand. And, you know, I love stories, and I write with humor, so people love that. The subtitle is Jonah's Journey of Brokenness and Yours, and I should add into it mine. So along with the story of Jonah, I talk through my own journey of brokenness. And when I first went into the ministry, I wanted to work with the successful people. And I did hospital ministry and things like that, but I really didn't care for it. And God had to lead me through a journey of brokenness. And today, I absolutely love caring for the hurting and the depressed because I've been there. I've been through it myself.
I understand you had a 40-foot fall or something?
I did. So I had my first pastoral experience in Yorba Linda at Yorba Linda Friends Church. And when I got done...
Wait, can I ask you a question? Is that the same? Is that the same place that Rush Limbaugh is always saying, and for those of you in such and such a place in California, and then he'll translate, you know...
Right. I don't know. I haven't listened to him for a long time.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, so anyway, I had 7 years of pastoral ministry there, and by the time I was done, part of that was the formation of what became the Vineyard. I worked with John Wimber in the Vineyard movement, or in the start of it anyway. And so once I left, I told God, I said, I don't want to be a senior or a lead pastor ever again. I want to serve you. But that door's closed, and I needed some healing, so I went and did camp ministry. I'd have churches approach me, want me to come be a pastor, and I kept saying no, and I was really saying no to what God's will and direction for me was. Mm-hmm. And so I went up to speak up in Northern California for a camp, spoke the first night, went out after the first session that night. It had been a hot summer day, and looking up at the stars, I was probably a half mile from the camp, and flipped my flashlight off and took two or three steps, and suddenly I was falling into a canyon 40 feet below.
Wow.
And I came crashing in. I felt the shockwaves go up through my back. I knew my back had been broken, which it was broken in three places.
Oh.
And it broke my left shoulder. And so here I am in the depth of this canyon, even with my preacher's voice, I was too far from camp for anybody to hear me. And cell phones weren't in common use in those days. Further, I was a speaker for the camp, so they had me in a cabin by myself. Nobody would even know that I was gone. And so here I am in this dark canyon, crying out to God and confessing my rebellion and wondering how in the world I would ever be rescued. So I would pray, and then I'd try to get back up on my feet, and I'd fall back to the ground in excruciating pain with a broken back. And I tried that repeated times. And finally, I was able to get back up, so I'm standing hunched over on my feet. And so I started hobbling. My only hunch was perhaps the cliff will come down And so I hobbled down that creek bed for probably 3 hours in excruciating pain. So I got down there, and finally the cliff was about the height of a kitchen table. And so I rolled up on that and then went through the process of getting back up again and headed back into the camp. And a couple was up and saw me and took me into the hospital. So I had a broken left shoulder and the back broken in three places. And then I had 6 weeks laying flat. Pretty good period of time for God to deal with me. And again, that church, one of those churches contacted me. And this time I thought, kind of like Jonah, I said, yeah, you know, I think I'm getting a second call from God. I think I'm going to say yes this time. So that's kind of a parallel to the story of Jonah.
So you, when you were going into the camp experience, basically you had felt like you had burned out and you just didn't want to, you didn't want to leave the ministry 100%, but you just didn't want to, you know, be a lead pastor.
I was very burned out. I was very disillusioned. I was very depressed. I'd entered into a pretty deep depression pattern. I had a lot of anger. I didn't know what to do with that. One of the things that I talk about in the book is dealing with anger and dealing with depression. And Jonah, even after his experience in the fish or the whale, was having a lot of depression. So I go into the different types of anger and how they're so different and how you deal with them differently, too.
Is depression, in a sense, anger but turned inward?
Yeah, anger and depression have been camping out together for a long time. And it really is. You know, I grew up in a very angry, dysfunctional home. I talk about that in the book. And so I learned to lash out with anger growing up because that was my home. But I got married. I wanted the opposite home. So instead, I stuffed all my anger inside. And the result was going into patterns of depression. So,
okay, so let me ask you this. Suppose that the young Dave Beckwith, let's say you were to go, I mean, this is so hypothetical, but the idea is, what would you say, okay? Suppose you could go today to visit that young man in the hospital, you, having fallen and broken your back and shoulder and so forth. Okay, so what would you say that, okay, look, here's, you know, I need help. Okay, fine, here's what we do. What kind of counsel would you give?
That's a great question, Jerry. You know, I would counsel this young, hard-headed guy that I was. Go with God, surrender your life to Him, and allow Him to work through you, however it is that He wants to use you. And part of it was learning to identify with and care for hurting people, and let that be a focal point in your ministry.
So God sometimes uses the difficult circumstances in our lives in order to shape us. That's part of His plan for us. All things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purposes. That doesn't mean it's always pleasant when we go through those experiences.
Right. One of the things that I talk about in the book, when Jonah is swallowed by the fish or the whale, I title that chapter "Checking Into Rehab," and so it really was his rehab center. But the honest truth is, we all need rehab, and it may not be in a facility, it may not be to alcohol or gambling or drugs or whatever, but we all need rehab in some ways. I was an angry, depressed person. My wife, Joanne, who's a psychiatric nurse, married a nice little fixer-upper for a psych nurse. And, but she didn't have any of the usual issues, addictions and things like that. She was raised in a good home. But she realized her need for rehab because she was always trying to fix things and meddling in things. So she went through a period of months that were literally a rehab experience for her of just going every single Saturday and allowing the God to teach her to release things rather than trying to meddle and fix them. And so that's part of the story that's included as well.
So, since the title of the book, you know, is related to people and, you know, I love the world, it's people I can't stand. And the sub theme is dealing with difficulties and difficult circumstances, rehab brokenness, brokenness yeah. by God's design. I take it then that some of the difficulty that you're talking about, some of the rehab is essentially God using other people, maybe difficult people in our lives for his greater good, for our good and for his glory.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Some of those people, I call them sandpaper people, that rub us the wrong way. They maybe a crazy maker who gets dries your body or gets under your skin or whatever. And God wants to use those people. I don't know that we ever come to a place where we say there's not some people we really can't stand. What I advocate is we come to a different point that we love the world and the people we can't stand, because God's love wants to flow through us. And that's what happens out of brokenness.
Yeah.
When we go through brokenness, God is using that to allow his light to be able to shine through us, to be able to love the unlovable and to be able to care for them.
Why do you think we run sometimes from God's assignments?
Well, there's a number of reasons we run up. Probably the core issue has to do is we want to run our own lives, so we run, all right? But probably more focused is when we've been hurt or wounded by somebody, then we'll often run, or we may have an unresolved conflict that we haven't dealt with, and so run from it, when in fact God wants to use that unresolved conflict in his curing process. Or we may simply run from doing a God assignment like I did.
Hmm. You know, in I'm sure the passage from 2 Corinthians 12 means a lot to you, where Paul prayed for that thorn in the flesh to be removed, and God's answer was, no, I'm not going to answer that prayer because my strength is made perfect in your weakness. Does that mean something to you? I'll bet you it does.
Absolutely. That's probably the key verse of my life. The first book my wife and I wrote has to do with Your Winning Edge. It's the title. And the subtitle is God's Power Perfected in Weakness.
Mm.
So it's when we're in our weakest moment, that's when God's power kicks in. That's when God wants to be glorified in our life. When we're busy parading our accomplishments and hoping people will applaud us and everything like that, well, that goes on and not much happens, but it's when we're in our weakness that God's power shines through in amazing ways.
Wow. Okay, we have 45 seconds left. What would you like to say in conclusion? And I'll let me go ahead and give that website again. It's standingstoneministry.org. No pauses there. Standingstoneministry.org. Okay, closing thoughts, sir.
Well, I close with a chapter entitled What Matters Most. And the simple answer to that is living a life of love. I honestly believe if a person lives a life of loving God and people, they are a success. Doesn't matter about a whole lot of other things. Certainly a success in God's eyes.
Amen.
And so my takeaway is love God, love people, and love people the way God loves people.
Yes. And then also realize that maybe some of the difficulties in your life, God be using those to shape us for good.
Absolutely. That's his plan and process.
Okay, thank you again for being with us, Dr. Dave Beckwith. God bless you now.
Thanks.
Sure.
Thanks, Jerry.
Okay.
Good being with you.
You
God
too.
Bless. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.